Come on, Connie. I heard by rumor that it was your birthday today. It's Connie's birthday. So you know, Mike McLean did this to me because my birthday was yesterday. And
what?
I mean, last week. I was 46.
Amen.
Yes.
Lord, help him, Lord. I know you're not through with him, Lord.
So I think what we need to do is make her feel welcome. And I think we need to sing happy birthday to Connie. Okay? Are y'all ready?
Yes.
All right. Y'all stand up. Let's do it out of respect. Okay? We do it for the old people. We stand up, you know?
You're 46. I'm 40.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Miss Connie.
Amen.
Happy birthday to you.
Amen.
Amen.
I love you. I got one thing to say.
What? Amen.
Don't leave out of this door with the same thing you walked in. Give God the honor and the glory. Give it to God and let God carry it for you. You don't have to.
Amen.
You don't have to. Because that's the God that we serve.
Amen. Amen. Happy birthday. I had a cake for you, but I figured I'd eat it before I got it up here. Well, if you're a guest with us, thank you so much for coming today. It's a blessed time to be in the house of the Lord. And, you know, I wrote on Facebook, just in a couple of weeks we'll be celebrating Halloween. And we're going to talk today about the Samson syndrome. And, you know, you can watch TV, you can watch the news, you can listen to the radio, you can read the newspaper. And you can see how people are straddling the fence. You know, the Bible's very clear. The Lord says, you know, either be hot for me, but don't be warm and don't be cold. Just be hot so I know where you are in your life. And this whole message today is truly about us living our total life for the Lord. God did not create us to be victims. God created us to be victors. And, you know, the Christians today are living as victims. We have taken a very defensive stance. And I believe today that we need to take a very offensive stance and begin to sit in that place that God died for all of us to have. Amen? So let's begin today and give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. We're going to talk about Samson, and if you'll turn your book or you can look at the screen, but it's about the birth of Samson. Now, one of the things that you'll see in Judges 13 is that the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman, and he said to her, the woman is Samson's wife, mom. Now, we never know in Scripture what this woman's name is. We know what Samson's father's name is, but we don't know what Samson's mother's name is. So the angel comes, and the angel says, behold, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and give birth to a son. Now, if you read the whole story about Samson, Samson is a child who was born for a reason. Samson was a child that when his mom became pregnant, the angel said, here is how you are supposed to live. He says, I don't want you to drink anything fermented. I don't want you to have anything that's got grape in it. And I don't want you to eat anything that is unclean. So God gave specific instructions to the mother before the birth of Samson. Now, Samson is going to be a Nazarite. And a Nazarite is someone that has been consecrated to go out and preach the word of God. He, too, is not supposed to drink. He's not supposed to cut his hair. And he is not supposed to eat anything unclean. Well, let's relate it to us today, okay? Each of us in this room have been called by God. Now, in Jeremiah 1:5, it says, before I formed you in the womb, God said, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you, and I have appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. Now, God, before you and I were even born in our mother's womb, God knew us. And before we were born, God consecrated us. God has something for you and me, and he has appointed us. Now, what is important in the midst of this in Galatians, and it's not on the screen, but in Galatians 1:15, it says, but when God, Paul is saying this, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb, call me through his grace. If you look at grace as an acronym is using a word and using each letter in that word to make another word. But the acronym of grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. So Paul is literally saying that he called me through grace, and God was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. What I want us as a church to understand that you're important. I want you to understand that God has called you, and that when God picked you, when he formed you in your mother's womb, and God said, I'm going to consecrate you because when you come out, I have a mission for you to fulfill. Okay? Now, we don't take it serious today. You know, we have put church second God second, and we need to put God first in all of our lives. Because if you look at the world today, the world is in trouble. Well, who's going to change the world? The ones that God has called to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, you were created for a purpose. God just didn't say, okay, I knew you in mom's womb. God didn't say, you know, I'm going to consecrate you. But God has consecrated us for a specific divine purpose. Jeremiah 29:11, and y'all know the passage, but he says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Now, this is not just a statement where the Lord goes, hey, I know the plans I got for you guys, but this is a declaration made by God where God says, I know the plans that I have for you, because you're my child. But what is important in here is, what is the plan? Well, the plan is for welfare. It's not for calamity. It's not for destruction. But it is to provide you and me with future. And it is to provide you and me with hope. And if there's ever a time in America, I'm telling you that the world needs hope today. You're not going to find it in the things of the world, but you will find it in a person named God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the problem. The church begins to go sideways. God knows the plan. Matthew 28 gives us the Great Commission. Everybody in this room, not just me, everybody in this room has been called by God to go. That doesn't mean warm your bottom on the seat. What it means is to go. And what are we to do? We are to make disciples. We are to baptize disciples. And then we are to teach those disciples everything that God has commanded us to learn. Now, I said it last week, and I'll say it this week. If you guys would go bring one person to church, one person, make sure that they know Jesus, make sure that they follow through believer's baptism, and make sure that you begin to teach them the things of the Lord, that God has got a plan for them, and the plan is not to be a victim. The plan is to be a victor, and you begin to show them the hope that God has for them and the future that God has for them and the purpose that God has for them, and that they have been called by the God of gods, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. You will pick them up from where they are and raise them up to where they need to be. Now, how many people do you know that are struggling today in this world? I got to tell you, a lot of people. A lot of people have made some dumb mistakes. They live by the circumstances, but they are still a child of God if they are a born-again believer. And we are the ones that are to be here again to raise these people up and to help them. Now, God will always provide specific instructions on what you and I are supposed to do. Look at Proverbs 4. It says, let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you, and watch the path of your feet, and all of your ways will be established. And then it says, do not turn to the right, do not turn to the left, and turn your foot from evil. Now, I don't know how more specific God can provide instructions to you and me. So if you look at that again, God says, here's what I want you to do. Satan wants to draw our attention. You know, when Pam and I went out of town, we're driving, and a guy's texting on his phone. So he's got a big truck. He's got about a 30-foot flatbed trailer, and he pulls over with the truck, but when he pulls back over, then the 30-foot trailer is in the middle of our lane. And, you know, you got to shut things down. God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look straight ahead. I want you to fix your gaze straight in front of you. And I want you to watch the path of your feet. And he says, I will establish your ways. It is God who directs us. It is God who says turn right. It is God who says turn left. It is God who tells us to stop. It is God who tells us to go. But he says, do not turn to the right. Do not turn to the left. Turn your feet from evil. Now, God knows that you and I have fallen short of the glory of God. Today, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. And one of the things about the supper is that you and I are to examine ourselves. We are to take an internal look at our lives. We're the ones to go, okay, I got mad at him, or I said some things that I shouldn't have said. I thought some things that I shouldn't have said. But it is important for us to sit down and examine ourselves and repent. Well, repent means turn. Stop doing what you used to do and turn and follow Jesus on the path that Jesus has set for you and for me. In the book of Isaiah, now how awesome is this? We're walking, we're doing what God wants us to do. Sometimes life is confusing. Sometimes we don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. And Isaiah says, your ears will hear a word behind you. See, our God has made us a promise. I'll never leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I am always going to be with you. And you know, when we would take our kids to the park or to the zoo or to the rodeo, you know, they would be in front of us and it's like, turn here. Walk up the steps right here. Okay, be careful. Turn right here. But the voice was behind us because our Father was directing our path. And Isaiah is hearing, he says, your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. And whether you turn to the right or to the left. And then it says, you will defile your graven images, overlaid with silver, and your molten images placed with gold. You will scatter them as an impure thing and say to them, be gone. God knows the purpose for our lives. And the problem with the Christian church today is that we decided to go this way. Or some have decided to go this way. And we have altered the course that God has set for our lives. When I graduated out of high school, I knew that God had called me to go into the ministry. I knew that. And I had a friend of mine who had cancer, and he was going to play football at college, and I was going to play golf, and James passed away. And the way I handled the problem was through alcohol. And I never went to the seminary. And I was 38 years old. My life was a total mess. It was pitiful where I was at for one reason, because God says, I want you to go into the seminary, Keith. I want you to be a pastor. I want you to tell people about me. But I'm the one that altered the course. How many of you in this room today are not where you need to be? How many people in here know that God have called you to go in a specific direction, but you have altered the course because it's not where you specifically want to go? If you want to find joy, I didn't say happiness, because you'll never find happiness in the Bible, but if you want to find joy, and if you want to find a peace that will surpass all human understanding, get back on track and do what God has called you to do. Now, here's something that's important that shows you your role. It says that all of the graven images, all those things that take our attention from God, you and I are the ones that are going to have to destroy those. Now, we have a God that loves us, but God's not going to kick our door in. We've got a Holy Spirit that convicts us and talks to us, but he's not going to throw us on the ground and wrestle those things away. It says you will scatter them as an impure thing, and you are the ones that are going to say, be gone. God's not going to go, you need to. We are the ones that have to get to a place to go, I hear from God, I'm supposed to follow God, I'm supposed to do what God tells me to do, and I'm the one that has altered my course. I have set things above God. I need to get rid of the idols, and I'm the one that needs to go, be gone. I can't play this game anymore. The Bible says that there is life and death. Where? In the power of the tongue. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so he is. And if Satan can get you off path, Satan's going to go, you're nothing but trash. And then all of a sudden, you're going to begin to believe you're nothing but trash. Satan's going to be talking to you going, you're never going to make it. And you're going to begin to think through the process to go, I'm never going to make it. Well, if God has set the way, God is very clear in his word, all things are possible through him. And God says, apart from him, you and I can do nothing. So I tell you today, if you have moved and altered your course, find your way back. Get back on the track. And when you get there, you're going to find a God with open arms. Goes, I love you so much, and let's get back on track, and let's go accomplish the things that I've asked you to do. Now, here's the other piece, and I don't think we understand it, but you and I have a choice. See, if you read Judges 16, it says, now Samson went to Gaza, and he saw a harlot there, and he went in to her. Now, Samson is a Nazarite. Samson has been consecrated. Samson has been called by God to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has two choices, to live by the flesh or he can live by the Spirit. But the problem is that we are no different than Samson. You and I have two choices in our lives. See, we can either live by the flesh or you and I can live by the Spirit. And I'm telling you that our Lord is looking for people today who are willing to live by the Spirit, who are willing to worship him in spirit and in truth. And that means he's looking for a group of individuals that are tired of playing the game. Because you see, I believe that this church, this group of people could change the face of America if we were serious to get down on our knees, to get up to God, and to praise God, and to get back on track, that this group right here, right now, could change the face of Washington, and we could have our land healed, and we could get back where we needed to be. Now, Samson decided to alter his course. He knows what he's been created to be. He knows he's not supposed to drink. He knows that he's not supposed to cut his hair. And he knows that he's not supposed to do anything that is unclean. Well, where does he go? He goes to a harlot. And he knows that he's not supposed to be there. In Romans 8, it says, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. How do you know that you're not where you need to be? Because if you're living by the flesh, then you're going to set your minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, they're going to set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death. Do you think when Samson went into the harlot that he had any idea where he was going to end up? I don't think that he thought that far. But it says the mind that is set on the Spirit is truly life, and it is peace. And if there's anything that we need in our life today is a peace that would surpass all human understanding. Now, it says because the mind is set on the flesh is hostile toward God. See, people decide that they can kind of cross the line a little bit. They don't think that that's hostile toward God. But either you love God or you don't love God. And we've joked about it before, but a woman's either pregnant or she's not pregnant. She can't be a little pregnant, okay? We can't be like a little Christian. Either you are or you are not. Either you are hot for God or either you're showing the world that you really don't care or you're showing the world that you're kind of playing the game, and we don't want to do that anymore. It says, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. The Bible says without faith you cannot please God. So you and I have a choice today. Do I follow God? Do I make that sacrifice? Do I do the things that God wants me to do? Or do I live by the flesh and alter the course that God has for me? See, in this room are missionaries. In this room are pastors. In this room are evangelists. In this room are prophets. In this room are people that God has called, and you have altered your course because you don't feel worthy. Well, here's the newsflash. Without Christ, you're not worthy. But with Christ, you are exactly what he said you're going to be. And you have got to step to that place. Now, here's the other thing. Sin will take you places that you never, ever want to go. Now look at Galatians 5. It says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissension, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. See, God has set the instructions, and the deeds of the flesh are evident. No one has to tell you that if you're drunk, that is not pleasing to the Lord. No one has to tell you if you want to go out and carouse the streets that is not pleasing to the Lord. The Lord doesn't have to tell you that if you set something above him that's idolatry and that is not pleasing to the Lord. God doesn't have to tell you that if you are causing strife and there's outburst of anger and there's disputes and dissension and factions in your family and in your life, that is not from the Lord. That is from the evil one. And if you read the rest of that passage, it says those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The book of Ephesians says, therefore be careful. This is an admonishment from God to us. Be careful how you walk. And don't walk as unwise men, but as wise men, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Turn on the news. You know, I had the opportunity to speak to a men's group the other day. And what is so sad is that our political arena today wants to split America up. He wants black to be against white. He wants white to be against Hispanics. He wants Asians to be against blacks. He wants us to split it all apart. But you see, God did not create color. God created children. God created people in this room. If we cut ourselves, we all bleed red. And what God is looking for is unity. God said, if you guys will unify, if you will humble yourselves and seek my face, I'll heal your land. God's done what God wants to do. You and I are the ones that are left to get it done. And those of us that are 65 and 70 and 80, our generation has something to do before God takes us home. I'm concerned about my children, and I'm concerned about my grandchildren, and you and I have an opportunity to change it around if we take life serious and not do what Satan wants us to do, but get back on the track that God has given us. The Bible says making the most of your time because the days are evil, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is God asking you to do? Think about your life today. It's not all about work. It's not all about making money. What is God asking you to do for the kingdom's good? Colossians says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception. How did Samson get in trouble? Well, his eyes turned to the flesh, and he was deceived. And it says, see to it that no one takes you captive according to the traditions of men. You know, I said yesterday, and I meant it, and it's taken a long time to get here. I lived in a family where it was very hard to please my parents. I never could reach that height of expectation. And I got to a place where I finally decided that there's only one person that I have to please, and his name is God. Because if I please God, then everything else is going to be okay. But Colossians says, according to the tradition of men and according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. God has given you the instructions to follow, church. Here's something else that's important, and I think we forget it every day. Understand who you're up against. You know, when you woke up this morning and you put your feet on the floor, do you know that you were in a spiritual battle? Do you understand, you know, we get up and, you know, we can't see where we're walking, and you kind of, you know, walk into the bathroom and getting your glass of water, and you just kind of waking up. But do you know that when you put your feet on the floor, that Satan is against you? Satan wants you down. Satan wants you finished because you're a child of the Most High God. And the problem is that we don't understand candidly who we are. John 10:10 says the thief comes, but look at the word only. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. If you think Satan wants you to live a life of blissfulness, you are absolutely out of it. I was going to say something else, but I'll be quiet. But honestly, if Satan, you know, comes to kill, steal, and destroy, then you got to understand he does not want you to be successful in life. So 1 Peter tells us, guys, when you get up, understand that you're in a spiritual war. So it says, be sober spirit. And it says, be on the alert. You know, that's why God said, walk the straight path. Don't turn this way and don't turn that way. Had a friend not too long ago said, y'all need to go to Brazos Bend Park. He said, you need to pick this specific space. He said, man, he says, the water's right there. He says, the fishing is awesome. You'll enjoy it. And I'm like, what was that space number again? But he says, now when you get out of your trailer, be careful. Because he says, there's alligators all around. I said, Robert, let me catch this one more time. You're sending me to a place where when I get out of the trailers, I have to watch for the alligators? He says, yeah, there's a path. You can go down that path, but you can't go to the... I'm like, Robert, I don't even want to go. It is crazy. But you see, it's the same thing for you and I. God says, walk the path, but don't go this way because there's gators that could get you. Don't go over here because there's gators and evil that could get you. God says, walk the path, be a sober spirit, be on the alert, because your adversary, the devil, he prowls around, and he's like a lion. He's not a lion, but he's like a lion, seeking someone to devour, and you are the someone. I will tell my age, but you know they had a program on Mutual of Omaha years ago? Y'all remember that? You know, it was kind of like National Geographic. And they always showed this poor little animal that was at the end of the herd, and here comes the lion that attacks it, you know, and you're like, oh, wow, this was great. You know, this was fun to watch this, you know. But see, it's a picture of you and me. Because if we are not on the alert, if we don't stay in the pack, if we as Christians don't rally around each other, and all of a sudden we see one of our brothers or sisters kind of falling back behind, I'm telling you, the devil is, he's looking at him. He's going to go, let him pull back a little bit farther, let him go places where we know that he doesn't need to be, and I can devour him right there. See, it's our responsibility to take our brothers and sisters to go, come on, man, you're falling behind, and we need to pull them up where they need to be. Amen. Here's the other thing that is so important in this message is that compromise is a tool of the devil. You know, you can't compromise the values of our Lord. If the Bible says don't do it, you don't do it. If the Bible says do it, then we do everything that we can within our power to make it happen. But you cannot compromise. If you are a person that has been an alcoholic and you don't drink anymore, Satan's going to go, have one more drink. It's okay. You can do it. But I'm telling you, you can't compromise your Christian values, because those values will take you places that you don't want to go. If you're a drug addict, if you've been in that environment, you can't go to that direction. If you are in pornography, you can't watch those things, because Satan's going to take you places that you don't want to go. You cannot compromise, because compromise is a tool from the evil one. Now, here's where it really gets sad. Delilah says to Samson, please tell me where your great strength is and how you may be bound to afflict you. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if any woman is going to ask you that question, run. Lord, have mercy. He goes to a harlot, not supposed to be there, and then it says he falls in love with Delilah. And Delilah goes, oh, Samson, I love you so much, honey. You're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Tell me how I can get your power and kill you. And the idiot does it. He tells her a lie, and then she comes back. And then she sits over there and she goes, you know, she said, you really made a fool out of me. So really, come on, man, tell me how I can capture you and take your power away. And the dummy does it again. And then all of a sudden, a third time, I'm thinking, man, you have got a hold of some bad stuff, man. And she, really, come on, honey. I love you so much. You mean so much to me. You're the best thing that's ever come to me. You're the greatest thing that's ever walked into my life. How can I get the power from you so I can kill you? And he tells her a lie again. And then the last time, I love what the scripture says. You know, he's tired of her nagging. You know, we've already joked about, you know, it's better for a man to sleep on the edge of the roof than to get around a nagging wife. I got to tell you, man, sleeping on the edge of a roof, your wife got to be bad, man, to get up there, you know. But she nags and nags and nags, and finally he tells her the truth. And then the scripture says that Delilah lulled him to sleep. I bet you she did. just lulled him to sleep. And then she calls in, and they cut his hair, and he loses his strength. And then she says, "Samson, wake up, they're after you." And he wakes up. And I'm telling you, the devil got him. And here's the greatest point of this message today. You can never lay your head in the lap of evil without living with regret. See, you can't play in the devil's backyard. And I promise you, as much as Delilah played on the emotions of Samson, Satan is going to play on your emotions. You know, it was a men's conference, so, you know, we talked a little bit different. But, you know, if a man is having problems with his wife, and he's angry and he leaves and he goes, "I'm going to go out. I got to get away from the house." Satan will put things in front of you that you've never, ever had seen before. And we joked about it. You know, in the real world, if you were single and you wanted to go after something like that, she wouldn't have the time of day for you. But now Satan is playing on your emotions, and he puts all this in front of you. And the Lord says, don't go to the right or to the left, because I promise you, they're to the right or to the left. There's some place that you're not supposed to be. And all of a sudden, what happened is he falls to the emotions and Satan grabs him. And look at what Judges 16 says. Then the Philistines seized him and they gouged out his eyes. See, sin will blind you. Sin will take you places that you don't want to go, and sin will cause you not to be able to see the Word of God. Sin will make sure that you will become a victim and not a victor in your life. It says, and they brought him down to Gaza, and they bound him with chains, and he was a grinder in the prison. You know, you're wanting someplace else in your life to go. But if you get off track, the issue is that Satan's going to take you someplace. Satan will blind you. And you're trying to break free, Satan's going to put you in bondage again. And then Satan's going to make you do things that you don't want to do. It's like drinking alcohol. There's a lot of guys that have been in this room that have drinking alcohol, and you've got to that place that you totally forgot what you did. Well, that's Satan's tool. Satan doesn't want you to know what you did. And Satan wants to bind you so that you can't go forward and you can't become who God has asked you to be. So here's how we end this. Never allow your mind to live by sight, but always follow your heart and live by faith. You know, I said in just a couple weeks is Halloween. And all the rest of this month, we're going to talk about Halloween. But a lot of people will compromise. A lot of people will see things and they'll go, that's just a game. No, that's a ploy by Satan. And what we have to do is that you can never allow your mind to live by sight. You know, one of the issues, and we talked about this last week too, but, you know, the people that are suffering with anxiety and stress and worry and fear and PTSD, your mind will paint a picture that your heart knows is not true. And because your mind paints the picture and your heart knows that it's not true, there is a spiritual battle that is being waged. And it's a difficult place to be. And you know that you shouldn't do it. You know that it's not real, but you do it anyway. And I honestly believe that when Samson got to that place and he put his head on her lap, had to know in his mind, God has not called me for this, but flesh took over. And Psalms 91 says, he who dwells Church, you and I have got to get to the place to go, okay, I've made mistakes. I've got off path. I've done things that God has asked me not to do. But I know that my God is a God of grace. And I want to come back to my God. I've been the prodigal child for so long. I've wallowed with the pigs. But I know that my daddy's there. And I know that he welcomes me home. But it says, he who dwells, he who will set up habitation in the shelter of the Most High can abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And church, that's where you and I, through our mouth, that we're going to have to say, this is my God. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. And he is my God. And he is a God that I will trust, because it says, for it is he who delivers me from the snare of the trapper. Now, Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Now, here's what I want you to end with. We have been called. We all have a purpose. God has provided instructions for us. We all have a choice. You need to understand what you're up against. Never compromise your Christian values. Shy away from evil. Live by faith and not by sight. And look at what the rest of Proverbs says. Do not be wise, church, in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn from evil, because it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise.